This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Danny Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No, I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Danny Show.
And a good Monday morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Danny Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Monday as we start another week and really jumping into the summer. And one of the guys said, hey, it's football season. We had the Shrine Bowl Saturday. Camps are going on. The eight-man games in a couple of weeks. And right around the corner with practices and camps and all that's going on, you'll be right to the home. I'm not going to get that crazy yet. There's no doubt about it. We've got a lot going on with the NBA, the NHL, the College World Series, Women's World Cup. You've got the Major League Baseball draft starting tonight. French Open has just finished up. NASCAR. But I say NASCAR because my man, Martin Truex Jr., just because he's the ex, was the winner yesterday. And, of course, the PGA Tour and Tigers 85 over the weekend. Plus, of course, the Belmont Stakes, a Triple Crown winner. We'll talk with Gino Bucola here in about 5 minutes on the Doug and Daddy Show, get his thoughts on what's going on and where American Pharoah's place in history, now that we are at that point, will be. And a lot happened this weekend. Jimmy, how are you, man?
Real good, Doug. How about you? What do you think of some of the NCAA baseball? Did you get to watch any of that?
Watched a handful of it, a little on Friday and a little yesterday, and a little, I guess, Saturday night. But some strange doings out there. Arkansas gets back to Omaha. Two close games after they blew out Missouri State in the opening game. And then you've got Virginia coming back. Maryland just, they've got to feel terrible. They beat UCLA twice out of three games, and then they kind of gave away both games to Virginia. And Virginia's a good story. Maryland's a good story. I think maybe the Omaha fans would have rooted for Maryland because they are in the Big Ten. Maybe. I think they'll actually root for Virginia more because of Brian O'Connor, the Creighton connections, and all of that. And, of course, his jerseys hanging down at Barrios and all the stuff that goes along with it there in Omaha. So those are a couple of the things I look at. Miami looked really good. Florida looked really, really good. The way that they trounced Florida State, they and LSU found a way. It looked like that was going to go to a third game. But when Sean Ryan was on with us last week, he says LSU sure isn't looking dominant like a number two seed should be. But you know what? The number one seed isn't around. Yeah. LSU's still playing. They got to Omaha.
Yeah, that's, you know, in the Miami of Florida, Virginia, I know every once in a while you like me to comment on officiating, because in the Miami of Florida VCU game, there was a ground ball.
Yeah.
Hit to the second baseman, and it was an absolutely horrible call to reverse that decision. They already had gone with their original decision. And, boy, you hate to change your call that you probably got correct the first time. You know, that's, you know, you and I have talked about that before, that this replay and getting together and changing things is when you have so much evidence that it's a crew-saving call. You have evidence that, whoa, you know, hey, you spotted the ball on the 5-yard line, but that guy was in the end zone. You know, I mean, you got to come in and help on that stuff. But this call should have never been reversed, never been reversed. If somebody wanted to call that the first time and miss it, because that's what they did. If you wanted to call it and miss it, then that happens. But you wouldn't want to make that call and reverse it, your thoughts.
Well, for the folks that didn't see the play and love baseball, it's a very standard runner's interference. I mean, you had the ground ball to second, runner going from first to second. There was two outs. They made the play, end of the inning or half inning. And the second base umpire, he's inside on the grass. I mean, he sees it from me to you, hand in front of your face. I mean, there was no reason that he would have gotten it wrong. He may have changed his mind, but there was no—I mean, there was nobody that was in his way. The sun wasn't in his eyes. You know, he didn't get hit by a bolt of lightning. I mean, he wasn't out of position. He saw the play. So, okay, there is some contact, and I have to first admit that when I saw it live from the camera angle, that would have been like from the dugout, where you would have seen, as you usually see, kind of from behind the plate out into the field. It looked like, oh, well, you know, there's contact, the ball gets away, they're going to call interference. That was my first thought. Then they show the angle where he's from the first base box. So you got the camera at first base. He's already by him, and the second baseman kind of makes an attempt to run into him so that he can get the call, is the way I saw it. And, yeah, when you take that much time and they all come out, and, of course, the Miami coach, Morris, comes out and, you know, I'm not sure that he argues it, but he's pointing out, man, that's just blatant, you know. And it's tough because the runner didn't do anything. I agree, they blew the call. It should not have been interference. But when you're in a spot like that, Jimmy, as far as, I mean, the runner's right down the baseline, and maybe you can explain the rule briefly to the listeners of what runner's interference is, but basically the fielder, the defensive player, has the right to the ball, and the runner has to, like, stop, even if he doesn't see the ball. So that was a tough play.
Yeah, if the rule is very clear, if the defense is trying to make a play on the baseball, if they're trying to make a play on the baseball, you can't. But, you know, it's just like if you have a runner that's in a rundown between first and second base, he just can't clearly go out of his way to run into someone. Mm-hmm. He can make contact with someone if someone is in the way. You get it? If someone's in his way, he can make contact. But you can't go out of your way to do it. And I felt this defensive player went out of his way. He was more trying to make contact with the base runner than he was to field the ball. And it is about fielding the ball, and that's the intent of the rule, is about if you're making an attempt to field the ball. And you could have the same thing. I mean, at home plate, we have this going on all the time where a base runner, you know, the ball's up the line 60 feet and the catcher runs up. He's got a slide. Well, he can't slide that far away. You know, I mean, so you've got to have some human on that. And then, you know, and we'll talk about it later, but, you know, the series is tied 2 games apiece in the NBA, but boy, that would have been tough. What do you think? Think they might be talking about some officiating the last minute or two on some fouls? LeBron James got fouled real bad a couple times, and there were no calls. And I think they got off the hook that the series is tied 1-1, because if it was Golden State 2-0, that's what we'd be talking about, is some missed calls.
Yeah, they're talking about it, much as, you're exactly right, if Cleveland would have got beaten, then they would have got hosed, and that's what we would have been talking about for the next 2 days. But you've got I like the NBA and the NHL, play it all the, I mean, as far as you can. What it will do, because you like to have sports, is it now we're guaranteed at least 5 games and probably 6 in both hockey and basketball, and that might take a little bit away from the viewership of the College World Series, because once these two things are over, And for the first time that I can remember in a while, the opening weekend of the College World Series and the U.S. Open in golf are not on the same weekend. That's a big weekend where you can watch multiple things. And, Major League Baseball is going on, but there's 162 games. And let's face it, all of this postseason takes precedence over what's going on in Major League Baseball. And for right now, that kind of takes away the... Is it poor play by the Royals? They still aren't hitting. As in the last 10 games, Minnesota went 5-5 and gained ground on and pulled away on the Royals a little bit. 3-7 in their last 10, and that includes a win yesterday. I said it was an important series with Texas because they go on the road to play Minnesota starting tonight. You'll hear it on the breeze, and they're in St. Louis this weekend. And I know baseball's a funny game, so if they go 4-2 or 5-1 this week and bounce back, then you kind of forget about everything that's happened over the last couple of weeks. But Kansas City just flat out continues to not play good baseball. You can't score one run against Texas at home. Texas is terrible. And they lost 2-3 to Texas.
Yeah, and Texas is playing fairly well right now. You know, so teams do get hot, you know, as they go up and down the seasons. But the Royals have still got the same problems they've always had, and that is scoring runs and getting extra base hits. You know, they really had a great April, and they actually had a pretty good September and October, you know, of last year. But even when they were going through their stretch in August and July, and their main problem, why they were two games below 500, and they're a 500 baseball team. They're a 500 baseball team at the best when they aren't scoring runs. Their bullpen is what's just always been able to save them and win every game after seven innings if they're tied 2-2. If they're just tied, their bullpen is so good.
Okay, Texas may not be terrible, but okay. who would have picked that Houston and Texas would be 1-2 in the AL West right now?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, yeah, but Texas really got hot right after the Royals played them the last time. Well, haven't they won like 12 out of 14, Doug, or something like that? Or it's a bunch, yeah.
Well, there were some other things going on Saturday as well. People were talking about the soccer and Serena Williams winning her 20th. A lot of historical things happened on Saturday, but these 30 seconds right here.
American Pharoah has opened up a two-length lead as they come to the top of the stretch, and Frosted has moved up into second, and they're into the stretch, and American Pharoah makes his run for glory as they come into the final furlong. Frosted is second with 1/8 of a mile to go. American Pharoah's got a two-length lead. Frosted is all out at the 16th pole. And here it is. The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah is finally the one. American Pharoah has won the triple crown.
There you go, the race call. And, of course, it was seen on NBC. And Gino Bucola's been with us for years now and throughout the Triple Crown. And, of course, when we get to the Breeders' Cup later in the fall. But Gino's back with us. Doug Duda, Jim Langan here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And, Gino, just what was going through your mind? Because he led all the way. There wasn't a whole lot of will he get it done. What was going through your mind for that 2 minutes plus on Saturday while the race was going on?
That's the way a race is supposed to be won when you're the favorite. And that's the way I think a big moment like this should happen. As you mentioned, there was no, is he going to get beat? Is he going to stop? There was maybe one little moment at the top of the lane when Frosted started to make a little run. And it kind of gives you chills because I tweeted last night, probably like, 3 a.m. How many times have you watched the race over? Just to out to a lot of the Twitter people that follow me, and it was getting 8, 9, 10. Because I think for me, it's been like 14. I'll watch it, and then I'll watch it 2 or 3 times in a row. And as a fan, it gives you goosebumps because for me, I'm a big sports fan. I love baseball, basketball, football, everything. But I've grown up in the sport of horse racing. So to hear 90,000 people literally chanting Pharoah, Pharoah, Pharoah at Belmont, and to see the response on Twitter from the athletes, to see it open up ESPN, I thought I was dreaming. You know, for the first 20 minutes on ESPN Saturday, all you got was horse racing facts, American Pharoah, interviews with Baffert, with Espinoza, with the Zayats. It seemed like a world that I've never been in since I've been alive now. I mean, it was 1978 since the last time we've seen a Triple Crown winner. And we've never had a horse this big in the social media landscape now, with Twitter, with Facebook, with every different sports network that's popping up all over, with every different news station. It's unbelievable the kind of coverage that horse racing gets on a big day, and I don't think any one of us were quite prepared for American Pharoah's name to be literally everywhere.
Gino, one thing I thought was interesting, they ran the 6 furlongs in 1:13 and 2 and about ran the second 6 furlongs in the same amount of time. Your thoughts on that, and a little bit, talk a little bit about Secretariat and how fast he ran his first 6 furlongs when he won his race and the difference in the styles.
Well, what's amazing is the time, the one thing about the times that frustrates me is that if you put the times together, Secretariat versus American Pharoah would have been double-digit lengths behind Secretariat just with time. The one thing that I don't like about time, though, is what was American Pharoah supposed to do, go 15 lengths faster than he was? I think a lot of times when you're just looking at time, then it's difficult because he can't go farther or faster, really, than he's getting pushed. And the fact is there was nobody really around to push him. We just don't see horses like Secretariat anymore, and it's really hard to compare them to Secretariat. But one of the cool things that I did write down is you started talking about the times. I thought this was phenomenal because in today's thoroughbred racing, you don't see horses bred for the mile and a half. And the 4 or 5 times that I've talked to you guys now since we've had horses going to the Belmont, it's the same thing every time. Horses that get tired, that not quite bred for it. But you started mentioning the times. So if you break the mile and a half down, there are 6 quarter miles. In the mile and a half. And just kind of quickly, I'm not a big guy that always goes through time, but this is very interesting. The first quarter mile, 24.06, and it was a good job by Victor. He went a little bit quicker to establish the lead. Then what you do is you start playing cat and mouse with the rest of the field. You slow things down. The second quarter, he went 24.77. Then the following 4 quarters were all faster than the first two, which is unbelievable. You very rarely are going faster the middle to the end of the race than you are at the beginning. He went 24.58, then 24.58, then 24.34, then he closed it out with 24.32. So consecutively, he ran 5 faster quarter miles, which is unbelievable. At the end of the race, you're not supposed to have that much left in the tank. And we saw they could have gone around again, and they weren't going to catch him. He would have just continued to open up on the field. So from whatever metric you're looking at, this horse was phenomenal, another good one. He beat 31 horses in the 3 races, and he was the only horse to run in all 3. We remember last year after the Belmont, when California Chrome didn't win, we heard the owner kind of talk a little bit about how it's unfair that you have some fresh horses. They were all fresh this time. He was the only horse that had run in all 3, so we continue to go through some of the facts, and I was kind of making a list and putting them out, Pharoah facts. How about another one? Since affirmed, there have been over 1.4 million registered thoroughbred foals. So we're talking 1.4 million since 1978, and we have 1 Triple Crown winner. So we literally have a horse who is more than 1 in a million with American Pharoah.
Gino Bucola with us on the Doug and Daddy Show from the TVG Network, which is always fun to watch and get the analysis. So that takes me to a little bit of the strategy of the race. We've been talking from the Kentucky Derby and a lot of the horses that were in the Derby that ran in this race. We talked a lot about speed. There were not a lot of closers throughout all of the 3 races. It was more about speed. So with that slow start, why did none of the other horses feel comfortable with just going out there and pushing the pace a little bit?
You know, I think a few of them, honestly, tried. I think what happens is we kind of take for granted the cruising speed that American Pharoah has. So if you don't break alertly, even if they're not going that quick in the times, he just does it so naturally, and he does it with ease. He's never really asked. While the other horses, you have to ask them to keep up with him. And I think that was we didn't hit the try that I gave you last weekend, but I think what we were one of the real, I guess, angles that I had in this race is I was really against materiality. Because of his style, I thought it was going to be much too difficult for him to win the race because he was supposed to be kind of the pest, the nuisance to American Pharoah. And when he couldn't beat, going into the first half mile or so, you could see that a materiality was already done. He was already being ridden hard just to try to keep up with Pharoah. It was over. I think we just caught a field and we caught a perfect storm this year where you had a horse who was better than the rest, a horse who tactically, who based on his style, he had a big advantage on all the horses he was facing. And then you had the right jockey, the right trainer, and the right owners. And, you know, I said this last week, and this is one thing that I've said a few different times. We're going to look back 20 years from now, and we're going to say this horse deserved it. It was Bob Baffert, who had already been down this road three times. It was Victor Espinosa, who had already been alive trying to win the Belmont twice. And then we have the Zayat family, who spends as much money on horses as any ownership group out there. Mr. Zayat is passionate. He loves the sport. He's a guy who's helped me, which is, it's kind of funny. You see some of these big millionaires and billionaires and rich guys, and you don't know anything about them in particular. The guy's called me a couple times when he's seen that I'm struggling and I've had a bad day on TVG just to talk to me. He's just a good person. He's, you know, don't worry about it, buddy. We'll get one tomorrow. You want to play? I'll give you a tip. I got a couple horses coming up. He's just a good dude. He really, really is a humanitarian. And so you root for people like this, and I could not be happier. It's going to be a fun next week and a half, 2 weeks. And, you know, we don't know what's going to happen, but we know we have a massive star in the sport. And I know that I'm pumped because a bunch of my friends have already asked me, hey, Gino, when American Pharoah comes back to Santa Anita next week, do you think we can go out and just kind of take a picture with him or go look at the barn? So that's the kind of thing that horse racing needs. The next time he runs, there are going to be 50 to 100,000 people that show up just to get a glimpse.
Yeah, Gino, the other thing, too, about that race is all of the speed that didn't really show up except for American Pharoah. I mean, I can remember in, like, there was horses in the past, and you've heard of these, like Groovy and Shekaruni, who always just go to the front, and they're never around at the end of the race. But there was no horse like that in this race, and that's why it was so set up for American Pharoah, like you say, to just go 113-2 or 112-4 or whatever they let him do. He was going to win that race, and I agree. He'd have won it if they went 3 miles, I said. And it would have been just all the way around the track. Those two horses were by far the best two in the race. The two that ran first and second were way the best two horses in that race. Your thoughts on that exacta?
You know, you're finding out, you're doing a good job of finding out, like, the little reasons why he won. And, you know, each year, like last year, I think the feel was a little bit different. There was a good horse like Tonalist waiting. You know, you go back 5 or 6 years, you have horses that, you know, in the Derby and in the Preakness, American Pharoah wasn't really threatened. You know, in the Derby, he was threatened a little bit by Firing Line and Dorman, and then he came back in the Preakness and he dusted them. You just didn't see the fast horses that were waiting, or you didn't see any of the horses that really scared you. You know, when you watch the Derby and the Preakness, you can kind of get the feeling. Sometimes you watch the Derby, you see these horses that'll come closing from way out of it. They have a bunch of trouble, and you go, oh, that's the horse I'm going to play in the Preakness, or that's the horse I'm going to play in the Belmont. And then you watch the Preakness, and you can sometimes see the horse who wins the Preakness, and they're a little tired, or they didn't look that good. Even last year, California Chrome, when he won the Preakness, he seemed like he was getting a little bit tired in the stretch when Ride On Curlin was coming after him. I just never got that feeling this year. I was always feeling positive. Anytime I talked about Pharoah with anyone, anytime we had discussions, it just seemed like everything was falling his way. And in past years, it's always been the opposite. There's always been something that happened, even with All Have Another a couple of years ago. I thought it was going to be a perfect storm with him, and then he didn't even get the chance to run. You can't, you know, discount the fate aspect of this one. It was almost like it was destiny and it was kind of written, because very rarely do things fall into place like this, and it just did. The race was perfect. The opponents were perfect. I think another thing that nobody really talked about, when you get hurt sometimes in any sport, you know, you're a basketball player, football player, baseball player, if you get hurt as a basketball player and it's at the end of a bad season and your team's struggling, you're not going anywhere, sometimes it's a blessing in disguise. You get some time off, you can rehab a little bit, you can focus. By the time you come back for the next season, you're rearing to go. And I think that's what happened with American Pharoah last year. As a two-year-old, he got hurt in September. He didn't get to run in the Breeders' Cup, and he was off from September basically to February. So all of those months where a lot of these two-year-olds were running, you know, Dortman was racing, you had Firing Line, they were racing at Los Alamitos, the horses that were running in the Breeders' Cup. American Pharoah wasn't running at all. They were just trying to get him back and hopefully ready to race. And what happens is, come March, now you've got a horse who's only run once in March, once in April, And so the three races in 5 weeks don't really seem that much for a horse who's pretty fresh. I think it was a blessing in disguise that he got hurt last year. It was the same exact time when I'll Have Another got hurt 3 years ago in 2012. So it shows you, when you don't have to run a lot as a two-year-old, you can come back the next year as a three-year-old, and it's the same in any sport. It's like basketball, some of these guys get a little older. We see Kobe. Sometimes he can take a little time off. I'm hoping as a Laker fan it'll be a blessing in disguise next year. Maybe he'll be a little bit fresh with these 2 or 3 years of not having to play each and every night. I honestly think that's what happened with Farrow, and it's amazing. I think for a lot of us racing fans, it still kind of hasn't dawned in yet, and it probably will in a week or two when you wake up one morning and you go, wow, this is something that I never was really expecting to see in my lifetime, and we saw it.
Last second here with Gina Wakula, the TVG Network, recapping something that hadn't happened in 37 years, the Triple Crown winner in American Pharoah, putting the final leg together on Saturday. And, of course, every time we talk horse racing, even if Gino's on or Michelle or whoever we have on, Mr. Drape or whoever the case may be, we love to hear from our buddy Big Game James over in Grand Island. And, of course, he chimes in here. He says, tell Gino that the rags numbers said that American Pharoah couldn't be beat. But his question is, what's in the future? When will American Pharoah start taking on the older horses?
A couple possibilities of what I've heard. Zayats live in New Jersey, and Baffert's own the Haskell. That's a logical next spot for them. That wouldn't be against older horses, but that would be right in their backyard. Speed-favoring racetrack, that's a possible place for him to show up. Like, it just depends in the next few weeks. Another place would be the TVG Pacific Classic. That's at Del Mar. American Pharoah broke his maiden last year at Del Mar. Now it's a brand-new racetrack. It was a synthetic surface before, and it's dirt, but that would be the next spot. And if you think about it, right now, the older horses from last year that were really good, that are good this year, are three-year-olds. They were California Chrome, Bayern, Shared Belief. We really have a lot of question marks about them. So it's a perfect time for American Pharoah to tackle older horses. Mr. Zaya has already said he will run again this year. Likely two times is what you would expect. Maybe one prep, and then the Breeders' Cup. If we got him three more times, we'd all be begging, and we'd all be very, very lucky. So I think the Zayats just made a few bucks. I think that. I know that for sure, because this horse is going to be worth millions, and they got the monster deal for the energy drinks, and it's going to be great, because no matter who you are out there, and I heard it on wrestling last night, you heard it on different things, people make the American Pharoah references, and that's what you need. People talking about a horse like it's Jordan, like it's Kobe, like it's, you know, a Mike Trout, or, you know, like a big star. I just think that people need to know these names in horse racing, and people are going to know this name, American Pharoah, so we'll talk, hopefully, if he's going to run again. I'll keep in touch with you guys. I'll let you know if I find anything out. And that's the one positive, is I know Mr. Zayat, and I just couldn't have been rooting for a family any more to win that's more deserving of this Triple Crown. And we've had a good 4 or 5 years here coming on and talking to you guys, so we just hope the luck keeps going.
Well, we definitely love our horse racing. And, Gino, one more time, let the folks know your Twitter address so they can follow you.
At Gino TVG, G-I-N-O TVG on Twitter. I'm also on Facebook, too. Feel free to send me a message about anything. And, you know, I love sports, but I love racing, but I'll talk with you anything about sports right now. I heard you just talking about Houston. How about Dallas Keuchel, huh? Got him on my fantasy team. I think I snagged him in, like, the 18th round. He's maybe the front runner for the Cy Young in the AL West out there.
Oh, my goodness. He went way deep right there. He's getting deep Houston Astro knowledge on us. That's good stuff.
We take a big left turn there.
Yeah, I can't believe I watched that horse racing channel, and then all of a sudden we get into Major League Baseball, and we've got 10 guys. Who's the guy that plays Major League Baseball? Used to play Major League Baseball. It always hits the pick four for me at Santa Anita.
That's Laduca. Molly Laduca out here. Yeah, they showed videos of Mike Trout rooting for American Pharoah. They were watching it at the Yankee game, too. They had it on over at Dodger Stadium. So very, very cool when you get to see people from all over watching horse racing. It's just something that we don't see. So us fans of racing and us that are involved, we're just going to take advantage of it, and we're just going to milk this for as long as we can.
Well, Gino, always appreciate it. Yeah, keep us with the knowledge here, and we'll be in touch real soon. Enjoy your summer, buddy.
look forward to it, guys. You have a great afternoon.
He's the best. Follow him along on TVG Network for horse racing every single day. Gino Bacola joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. We've got a lot more coming up on the show. We'll probably get into that a little bit more. We threw out pretty much every topic. There's a very diverse amount of sports when you're talking horse racing to World Cup soccer and everything in between with the NBA and NHL. Folks, the Kearney Rotary invites you to their 8th annual Burgers, Brats, and Beer Night tonight at the Knights of Columbus. The cost is $10 for adults, $5 for children. You can buy them right there at the door. And this time, all their proceeds are going to hang a big American flag out at the archway, a 20 by 30 flag, 80-foot pole, and that is their next project, and that's where the monies are going to go for tonight. So, hey, it's Monday. It's just like grilling out, baby. See him at the Knights of Columbus Hall, your Kearney Rotary. Burgers, Brats, and Beer Night tonight from 5 until 8 at the Knights of Columbus Hall, which is at 1900 Central Avenue. It's the block just south of the railroad tracks here in Kearney. We'll take a break. Be back with more after this.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll stay with more sunshine across the area through the day today with a high into the upper 80s. Winds out of the west today from 5 to 15. Now with clear skies tonight, we'll head down to 62. Followed by a high in the mid-90s Tuesday. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 79.
Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
What you say? Doug Daddy Show, Jack. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Lately, you know, we got enough TV channels, and we're keeping busy with everything, but hey, when you're up, you're flipping through the channels. The movie Ray has been on a bunch lately. It was on again a few times over the weekend. It's a long movie. It's a great movie. If you're a Ray Charles fan, this is the greatest right here. I mean, there's a handful of them. I love this. But some, I don't know that I've ever seen it from start to finish. Still haven't. So I saw a couple segments over the weekend that I hadn't seen before. I'm going to tell you what, I don't know where she went, but the actress, and I looked it up today, Regina King, she was in Jerry Maguire. She was the wife in Jerry Maguire, and she's been in a variety of movies, and she was kind of the mistress, one of the backup singers here in Ray. She can act. I would never want to cross that woman ever. She is nasty. She is nasty. And she's still very young, and I'm surprised she hasn't been doing – she's done a lot of TV stuff. You can see her bio stuff. But anyway, just something that struck it to me. And when they sing this song in the movie – yikes.
Yeah, that's
you can YouTube it, folks. It's just a minute 58, but yikes. It's just like after a big fight and yep.
What I like about that song is we can hear it on the radio, and I kind of know the words to it, and I haven't heard it that many times, you know, but hey, I know what the next word's going to be in the song.
It's short songs, great songs. We of course, before the sports show, and of course, right through the window here, we've got classic hits playing all of the great music from the variety of eras. And before the time was a DJ, and you know, hey, 20 years ago, so let's throw out basically all the music in the last 20 years. But you know, when we were talking oldies, that's what we were talking, and there were a lot of 2-minute songs. We could have a great list of the 2-minute songs in the world, everywhere from Hit the Road Jack to I Like Beer from Tom T. Hall and everything in between.
Hey, you know what the trouble with recording the show is? You know, you and I might start singing a little bit if we knew no one could replay it again over and over and over again. But I know if I started singing,
on the podcast.
Yeah, it's going to be eternity. Yeah, they're going to come back on me, and I'm just going to be a bad deal. So I'm not going there.
Sometimes we forget.
Yeah, well,
that we're on the air or that we're in public being videotaped or Snapchatted, and it always comes back to bite you.
It does. Okay, I'm glad I'm not going that way.
It comes back to bite you. Hey, we are here at the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth. Midway, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac, Midway, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, and the Midway Auto Outlet. Killian Motors is now the Midway Auto Outlet. If you've been a Kearney resident, you know exactly what we're talking about. All of the dealerships now lined up on South 2nd Avenue. Kearney's newest used car location is now in the old Killian Marketplace. Midway's pre-owned vehicle selection is at an all-time high and continues to grow every day. You can see their full selection in person or online at thinkmidway.com. Choose from a late model vehicle or a budget-friendly used car that's sure to fit your needs. Gently owned cars, trucks, SUVs, vans, crossovers, and more. Midway has you covered with a multitude of used cars available on Central Avenue in Kearney. Behind the Midway Chevrolet location, the old Killian Motors location. And don't forget the Midway Collision Center is now open for business. Free estimates and fast turnaround time. Stop in and see them. We hope you don't have to, but if you need to, your Midway Auto Outlet on Central Avenue in Kearney with the Midway Collision Center. And go to thinkmidway.com. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on the Doug and Daddy Show. And the Nebraska Danger, by the way, have clinched home field in the first round of the playoffs, 50-34. They're getting it done. They go to Billings. I'm going to be very interested to see what happens at Billings. It's not like you can rest your guys, Jimmy. There's only 23, 24 guys, and they've brought in a bunch of new guys over the last month. So Coach Davis continues to want to see them and get acclimated and get on the same page for the playoffs are not very long, a couple of weeks, but they want to be there and they want to have a chance. It'll be interesting to see how they do.
Yeah, I would imagine the play selection will be different about, you know, who carries the ball. And there's, so you say about rest and starters, they probably aren't going to rest starters, of course. They're going to be out on the field, but they're probably not going to put the ball in some of those guys' hands. You know, they're going to have some other guys carrying the ball. So, you know, if you run 60 plays and 45 could go to your better athletes, I'll bet it's the other way around. You're going to see about 15, and they're going to work on some other guys and work on some stuff. And it'd be very possible they could lose that football game.
Speaking of a limited number of plays, the Shrine Bowl was pretty much everything we thought it would be, and a great football game, a very competitive. But it ends up 31-26. The game is called because of lightning. There's two or three stories here. One, unfortunately, the game was called. As we said, 15 years ago, the game wouldn't have been called because nobody would have had the technology right there to call the game. Again, I'm not saying it should or shouldn't have been. I'm just saying it was. The game would have finished. We were safe. It then rained, and things came through. But you got to be safe. You got 5,000, 6,000 people there, and you want to make sure that they're safe. And so that's why the game ended. The South dominated the football game. If you just looked at the score, and it was 31-26, there are certain rules that are put in to allow the game to stay close, which is good. But then watching it the way it unfolded on Saturday, I felt bad for the South kids that were there to shine as well. They blew it up. Connor Young blew it up in the first half. Well, you're never going to have a bunch of records probably broken anymore like he did, because they didn't get to have the ball in the second half. They ran about 6-10 plays in the entire second half. They were conservative. They were winning. They'd done their job. And they were probably going to win the game unless the North onside kicked. I mean, the game stopped right after the failed two-point conversion, which cut it to 5 at 31-26, so the North would have been kicking off to the South. This is not to overlook what Pierce Allman of Grand Island did at quarterback in the second half. He had a rough day from Pierce Allman standards. They weren't able to do what they thought in the first half. And, in fact, if it hadn't been for a botched fumble return, they may not have scored in the first half. It was 31-6 at halftime, and you didn't expect to see the passing game and the Connor Young show the way it showed up with the Ramsey and the quarterbacks over there from the south side. You know, Noah Johnson, he led him in rushing, 26 yards, but he only got 3 carries. They only ran, 36 plays in the entire football game. So they didn't get that many. Yeah, 33 plays for the South, 69 for the North. And, I mean, it wasn't like they were getting the defense tired because they switch in and out. But it was what it was. The South dominated the first half, and the North got a few plays in the second half.
Well, it's unfair. What you're talking about being unfair as the game unfolds and the off. How would you like to be a defensive player for the other side? You don't get to play either. You know, I mean, you're on that one side. So if you were on playing defense, you only get to play 33 plays. You're going, hey, how am I going to get any tackles? You know, because I'm only out on the field for 33 plays myself. You know, so yeah, defense. So one team's offense didn't get to play very much, and the other team's defense didn't get to play any very much. So,
and you're right. That's probably more to the North because talking to the coaches, Coach Goltz of the South says, hey, I got my guys, as you remember Thursday.
Yes.
They're going to play both sides. I got them switching around. And Coach Martin of the North wasn't really that way. I mean, he pretty much had him offense, defense.
So. Yeah, that's right. So, yeah. So, you know, there's some kids that didn't get to play very many downs if you were playing defense only on his team. Yeah.
You know, I always have the soft spot for the smaller schools. I thought the 8-man kids all did well. Jared Hastings didn't really get to do a whole lot. He was involved, played a little defense. But the young man from Exeter Milligan and Kyle Jensen, he was in on some. I tell you what, Kyle Jensen, Exeter Milligan covering Marquise Lewis of Omaha North. Now that was something to watch.
Yeah, I wish I saw that. I was in Denver, Colorado, so I didn't get to see the games. But and I didn't even know. I read about it in the Omaha World Herald when I got back there. I didn't even know the game got called. But I saw the score 31-26, and I'm reading the article, and the kid, 3 touchdowns. I thought, hey, that's great. I mean, I figured that was a full game. And then I looked, it was 31-6, and I saw, oh, but they came back a little bit. And then I read, oh, yeah, that's right about the rule. And then they shortened it, but they never told me when they stopped the game. When did the game get stopped?
5:19 remaining.
In the game.
In the game.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they played 55. I mean, 43 of the 48 minutes. Yeah. I didn't even know that until now, Doug.
Yeah, you can cash your ticket.
Yeah, you cash your ticket.
It was a legal game.
Yeah.
But there was some, all the guys from our area got to play, and a lot of them did good things. As we said, Noah didn't get to probably play as much. You saw RP had, I think, the only sack of the football game. He had the first one anyway, him against Pierce Allman, as if they didn't know enough about each other. And Brungard and Cabanning from Kearney Catholic playing up along the line there. And as we said, Connor Young was the offensive MVP, broke the Shrine Bowl record for receiving yards. He did it in the first half, 133 total, had 4 touchdowns, 3 receivers. And threw, it couldn't be a halfback pass, it'd be a wide receiver pass that he threw. Of course, he was the quarterback over there, but he threw the touchdown pass to Clinky from Seward. That was their 4th touchdown. You had the place kicker and Lions from McCook do well, and of course, Colton Siss was the defensive MVP. It was really balanced. He had 8 tackles. I just remember when they asked us to vote, I said, we didn't have the second half numbers in front of us, and the South would have been out there more defensively. I remember him getting in on a lot, and Deshaun Neal, the future Husker, he had a couple of big plays, recovered a fumble, mixed some things up, but you're not going to run it, Deshaun Neal.
Right.
It's just not. But so those guys were the MVPs of the game. And Pierce Allman had a good second half. In the first half, he was 3 of 10, had a pick and a 2-yard rushing touchdown that he threw for 3 touchdowns to 3 different guys in the second half. And so that's how the Shrine Bowl broke down on Saturday.
Yeah, it sounds like it was a pretty good game. And like you said, it was pretty hard to pick a defensive player with the rules. You know, with the rules that are set up, you know, Because one team's going to play defense on the whole second, the whole third quarter, whatever, Doug. Isn't that correct? You probably saw the same team players out there on the field the third quarter. Like I said, you watched.
Yeah, the South didn't get the ball until there was about three minutes left in the third quarter, because South kicked off to the North. The North was going to punt. It's right. 4th and 7. They snap it back to Drew McClellan of North Platte. St. Pat's, he punts it away. But the South got caught. A majority of the penalties were illegal substitutions, illegal formations, special Shrine Bowl rules. And they got dinged on that one. So made it 4th and 2. Repunt, snap to the up man. He gets the first down. Nice gain. And then they score. And no one's still sure. I was told it was 10 points. I thought it was 14. That if you're within, if you're down by, and it must be 14 points, you get the ball right back. And so they did. It was 31-13. They get it back. They score. Again, it's 31-20. Then they kick off. And the South, basically 3 and out. Bang. Score. 3 and out. And then that's where we're at, to the 5:19 mark of the Shrine Bowl. Time for our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Over the weekend, we asked you about Adrian Peterson's upcoming season and how you think it'll go. 60% says he'll be near the top of the league. 30% said that Peterson will be average. 10% said he'll be less than impressive. None of you picked a 2,000-yard season, and that's what I said Friday. I think he'll be the top of the league, but short of 2,000. I think he will be the best running back in football, which Damon Day kind of disagreed with me about. I just think Adrian Peterson is that special. And as Gino was just saying with American Pharoah, he had some time off. His body will be pretty darn fresh.
Yeah, I think he might get 2,000 yards, Doug. I mean, it depends on
their season.
And it also depends on the success of their offense. You know, if their offense is on the field and gather and get first downs and not score quickly. You know, I mean, unless it's his long runs.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if they throw the ball and are having success throwing the ball, then he will not get 2,000 yards. But if they need to run it and they're having success doing that and they run some play action stuff, then I think you're right. I think he could be. He's that good. He'll get, you know, 1,600, you know, yards, something like that, you know, all the way to 2,000 possibly.
A little early for me to be looking at fantasy football stuff,
right.
But I'll be interested to see where the publications are, RotoWire folks, and everybody puts Adrian Peterson. Now our Midtown Mark cooler question today. After finishing with his 7th career postseason triple-double with at least 30 points and 5th career NBA Finals triple-double, can LeBron power the Cavs to win 3 more games? So basically, how will the NBA Finals work out here? No, the Cavs will lose the next 3. No, they might win one more. No, they'll lose it in 7, or absolutely, Cleveland can win it because he is the king. It's 1-1. They both went to overtime. I still have Golden State. LeBron is just playing like the king, and they're still 2-point overtime games. That tells you he's playing at his absolute best, and everything has to go his way. Stephon Curry was not good last night, and it was a 2-point overtime game. I say, out of these 4, no, they may win one more. I think Golden State probably wins this in 5 or 6 still. Jimmy?
I'm saying it's going to go 7. I think the two games I saw, it'd have been a travesty almost if this wasn't 1-1. I mean, if Golden State had won both games, that I would have thought, wow, that's really unfair to Cleveland, the way they came into Golden State and played. But on the same token, if Golden State wins them both, you're going, boy, that was pretty lucky to catch both of them and win. But if you're honest about it, Cleveland came closer to winning both games at the end of regulation. You know, at the end of regulation, Cleveland had a chance to win them both. Played very poor in overtime the first time. I think it's going to go 7 just the way I watched them. And all 7 games will be overtime, Doug.
Vote now on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug Duda, Jim and Langan with you. More on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
convenient walk-in medical care.
Open when you need us.
Hastings Convenient Care.
No appointments necessary.
From sore throats to broken bones,
cuts or illnesses.
Hastings Convenient Care is open when you need us.
Open 7 days a week.
Monday through Friday, 9 till 8, and weekends 11 until 5.
Program the number in your phone so it's there when you need it.
402-463-6300. Visit online at hastingscare.org.
208 South Burlington, Suite 108, just south of the underpass.
The care you need at the time you need it.
Hastings Convenient Care.
The reality of today's real estate market is that there are more buyers than listings. Preparation plus the resources afforded by OneRocky.com can put you in the home you want, while delaying could cost you both dollars and the home you want. OneRocky.com, the right website. OneRocky.com, the right smartphone app. Rocky Geyser, the right real estate agent.
This is Rocky Geyser. If you're not on OneRocky.com, you're not on the right website.
If you care, call Rocky Geyser, because he does. OneRocky.com.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Hey!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
I call Kearney Crete and Block for all my landscaping bricks and paver.
We called Kearney Crete and Block when we decided to do an outdoor kitchen, fire pit, and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete products, building generations one block at a time.
The Fellowship of Christian Athletes is holding a basketball camp for any student entering the 3rd through 8th grade on Thursday, June 11th at the 18th Street Hastings Family YMCA. Former Huskers Brian Conklin and Andrew Derivo, along with former Creighton Blue Jay Ryan Sears, will be on hand to develop your child mentally, physically, and spiritually. The cost is only $15, and participants will receive a T-shirt and a Bible. For more information, contact the Y at 463-3139 or log on to hastingsymca.net.
I get no doubt, but I get up again. You're never gonna beat me down. I get no doubt, but I get up again. You're never gonna
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation. So in the interest of equal time, I hate this song. I mean, I know it's kind of a sports anthem and all that. That was one I never cared for. But it's okay. It's okay, Producer Caleb. You can keep that in the rotation. No problem. No problem.
That's an older song for me.
Yeah, I know. That's an oldie for our producer.
In fact, that's still a new song for me.
Yes.
That's a brand new song for me. So,
but it is crazy. It is every time that you're around the high school kids and you're thinking about, I mean, it just blows my mind. I mean, they don't, history is 9/11 to them. That's history.
Hey, I remember when I was in Ravana and just started teaching, and this would have been like in the early 1980s, and we were talking and go, hey, you know, those kids weren't even born with Johnny Rogers. When Johnny Rogers had that punt return against Oklahoma, go, unbelievable. You know, hey, isn't that amazing? You know, that was something, you know, so, yeah, that was kind of how we judged, you know, the time before Johnny Rogers. After Johnny Rogers' punt return, that was the time. Was that before or after the Johnny Rogers punt return? That's how we did it.
Wow!
What was yours? Did you have one, Doug? Like that you kind of can remember like that?
Well, my Husker moment is the Mike Rozier run, and I was older. I was in high school then. The Mike Rozier run against UCLA. I definitely remember all the stuff in between the I am hip. Jarvis Redwine going down the sideline, saluting Oklahoma. I remember that. The hit the first year that Nebraska finally beat Oklahoma with Rude and the overturn and blah, 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 blah. Can you imagine? Can you imagine replay? That would have overturned that call. The fumbled punt that wasn't, you know, where we crushed the Oklahoma returner and they fumble it and we cover it at the 10, but they say, no, he's down. We end up going on Nebraska, Nebraska ends up going on to win the game, but it would have been a whole lot different. But a moment in history, no, a moment in his, I don't know. First thing, this pops into my head because, you know, our parents and grandparents, moms, grandmas, they all watch soap operas constantly. I remember the Watergate, televising of Watergate because it took off their soap operas.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So I guess the first thing that I remember probably watching on TV outside of The Price is Right, because Bob Barker is king, was, and that was 72, 71, 72. So I was just 4 or 5 years old, was Watergate. We got off topic, didn't we?
No, not really. We're talking about time frames and things like that, how you could get. So, yeah, I think we're on topic. Have we ever been on topic? Have we ever been on something and just stayed with it?
Here's something for you. Since we're all over the place, Women's World Cup and horse racing, and then the core sports with hockey and basketball, and hockey's been entertaining as well. And Game 3 is tonight, Chicago hosting Tampa Bay. Game 3 tonight. But there are now going to be more events in the Olympics, for the Winter Olympics. But they're not new events. They're not new sports. They're new events in sports. And Big Air has been added to snowboarding. So X Games has come more into the Olympics. The mass start in speed skating. Mixed doubles in curling. Now, there you go. More curling, more time. I'm watching the Olympics, brother, and we all know curling is it. And then there will be a team skiing event, which I kind of thought we already had. Maybe this is a mix. I know we had some team cross-country, I don't know. Of course, the next Winter Olympics are in Pyeongchang, South Korea. That's right, Pyeongchang, South Korea. So we'll be watching everything tape delayed anyway in 2018. Are you fired up for any of those?
You know, I've really struggled with this, I guess. You know, I mean, I'm going to be real honest with you, Doug. I mean, I'm seeing some races where, you know, that curling thing, when those two guys are out there and they're trying to get it, like, it's just like shuffleboard. I mean, let's have a
shuffleboard on ice,
you know,
brother.
What I mean? You got to be kidding me.
How great would real shuffleboard be, whether it's on the, with the push, the sticks, or, you know, salt the table?
I guess you're right.
Sand the table.
Let's go ahead and we can have an Olympics so that way I can play, I guess.
You know, I can't believe Bar Olympics hasn't taken off. I mean, seriously, every other thing is on. How has Bar Olympics not taken off? Shuffleboard, darts, foosball, on and on and on.
Yeah, it's just really hard to watch that.
Man.
You know. Now, I watch that ping pong, and there'll be like 16,000 people watching it in the arena. And when you watch those guys hit that back and forth, now that's amazing to me. And because I guess I get excited when I hear I have a language barrier there a little bit. I can't understand exactly what they're saying, but it's kind of fun to just listen to the, you know, after they hit the shot, and like, you know, the guy says something like, is he talking? You know, is he taunting the guy, or did he tell him it was a nice shot? Because I don't know, but I think he's taunting him.
Well, they could probably point their finger and taunt at T&L Irrigation because they've got the best irrigation system in the world, but they don't do that. They just talk to the farmers. They talk to the business owners, and they want to make sure that whatever you're doing on your farm includes the T&L Navigation Corner System, the T&L Hydrostatic Powered Pivot. It's like no other, and it continues to grow worldwide. I smile. I see more T&Ls than we did 10 years ago, and they've been with us since the 1950s out of their worldwide headquarters in Hastings. And again, the latest piece of equipment is the GPS Navigation Corner System, which, hey, we all know not every piece of land and every piece of cropland out there is perfectly square or rectangular. You're getting into nooks and crannies, and that is perfect for your Navigation Corner System. And you run it just like your PP3. You can run it from your smartphone. You can run it from anywhere that you've got connection to the GPS Navigation Corner System. See Bill Shapley at Mid-States Irrigation in Kearney, Derek Wagner at Wagner Irrigation in Holdridge, your local T&L dealer, or go to TLIRR.com. T&L Irrigation like no other. We're back with more after this.
Today, more and more people are insuring their homes with us through auto owners insurance. I'm Dave Challey at Barney Insurance. We'll provide low-cost, quality protection, claim service second to none, and if you insure both your home and car through auto owner's insurance, you'll qualify for additional premium discounts. Stop by or give us a call at 237-2222. We're Barney Insurance.
Time is the true test of endurance. Barney Insurance.
It's that time of year again, so dust off the bikes and head to Upland, Nebraska for the 14th Annual Faces Rally, June 12th through the 14th. Events being held during the rally include a fun run, a bike show, bike games, a hog roast, live auction on Saturday at 6, enjoy music on Friday night from Area 52, and Saturday from One Horse Town. There will be vendors and other activities as well. The rally is focused on raising money and awareness for the National Craniofacial Association. Find more information about registration at facesrally.org. The 14th Annual Faces Rally in Upland. Proudly sponsored by BBLC Digital Outdoor, Kearney. Fort Theater Dentistry, Kearney. Aurora Co-op Agronomy Division, Upland. Rogers Foundation, Minden First Bank and Trust. Holstein Construction, Scott Shaw, Holstein. Pioneer Seed, Doug Bolt in Upland. See you at the 14th Annual Faces Rally, June 12th through the 14th in Upland, Nebraska.
Instead of dealing with a bank, let us work for you. Hastings Federal Credit Union, the only member-owned financial institution in the area, offering checking, savings, auto, or mortgage loans too, with lower fees and truly personal service. Serving the financial needs of those who live in Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Knuckles, Thayer, and Webster counties. People helping people. Hastings Federal Credit Union, 707 North Marion Road in Hastings. Online at hastingsfcu.org. Equal housing lender, member NCUA.
It's Sports Talk with a fond affection for pigskin.
The football team at my high school, they were tough. After they sacked the quarterback, they went after his family.
ESPN Radio Superstation. KXPN Kearney. KICS Hastings.
Put another log on the fire. Cook me up some bacon and some beans.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy. We've hit all corners today, haven't we? Well, he needs Madonna like a virgin. I think we've hit them all. Every corner that's possibly out there. Maybe some Metallica in the middle. Oh, Bicycle Ride Across Nebraska has started over the weekend, and they're going from Cambridge to Eustis today. Is that right, young Caleb?
Yep, they'll be going into Eustis today and heading to Axtell tomorrow.
So we welcome all of the bike riders across the state of Nebraska and from all the points across the United States that have come in to ride in Brand, and wish you the best of luck. They picked a hot week. They picked probably the worst week so far in 2015. Isn't that kind of the way it always goes?
Yeah, better than riding in the rain, though, right?
Yeah,
if they'd have been in that storm
and
yeah. Looking up and seeing where the lightning's at, yeah.
So we've had all that. But we can tell you that when you're cruising around, the Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill is the place to be to watch all of your favorite sporting events, to have your favorite food. It's the best of both worlds in downtown Kearney. They still are serving up the duck wings. If you love them, try them again. If you haven't tried them, give them a shot. They're really good. Put your favorite wing sauce on them. And the brand new, the latest wing sauce, we should say, is the Mango Habanero. And right now, the Chicken Coop is ready for summer. Open 7 days a week at the Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, the best of both worlds in downtown Kearney. Whether you love your pizza, your burgers, or you want a steak, ribs, fish, whatever the case may be, just some appetizers, ice cold beverage, whatever that may be, while you're playing a little Keno and watching your favorite sporting events. And don't forget, the party room is there for you every night. Sometimes you want to book that for a special occasion. Colin and the gang will set you up, and that's going on at Chicken Coop in Kearney. Well, they are also qualifying today, Jimmy, for the PGA, for the U.S. Open Championship. We've got a few kids, like Riley, kids, young men, Riley Reinertsen, Brandon Crick, Scott Gucheski, all trying to qualify. It's so tough. It's like Tin Cup.
Yes, but, you know, it gives us something to watch, you know, when you watch the thing. Doug, you know, normally, is there a percent that they take, do you know, on these? Like, I know, hey, you got to finish in the top five. Is that because there's... They take, if there's 50 guys playing, then the top 10% get in? Or is it a number that's already been established?
Well, I think it's around 10%, but it's even lower than that in some places. Like, okay, in Memphis, that's where Riley Reinertsen is.
Right.
And unfortunately, he's 3 over through 9 holes, and that's just not going to get it done. He's sitting in 92nd out of the 121 players that are in the field, and they're going to take 10 out of just that spot. There's 10 regionals going on today. And so they'll take 10 from there, but there's a couple places they may only take 3 or 4 because of the number that are entered.
Now, he's 3 over, and he is in 97th place. Can you imagine if you and I were playing in a tournament, we were 3 over, how happy we'd be? And
don't make me embarrass
myself. We would not be in 97th place in the tournaments I play in. 3 over is good. Well, three overs are great. I mean, a tremendous score.
And to show how tight it is, Martin Laird, who's won on the tour before, out of Scottsdale, Arizona, Brian Harman, who's won on the tour before, they are 5-under through 9 holes, and they lead this thing. I mean, Woody Austin is in this one. There are big names out there. I can't remember them all. Fred Couples is playing somewhere. I mean, there's guys that you would go, what? They got to qualify to get into the U.S. Open? There's some darn good golfers out there, but it's all kind of part of the experience as well.
Yeah, they get exempt in things. Like if you win a tournament, then you don't have to qualify for 10. Or if you're in the U.S. Open and you finish in the top 50, or if you make the cut, you get to come back the next year. I mean, they have different rules, you know, for 3 years and 5 years. And, of course, the Masters, if you ever win the Masters, you get to do it lifetime. You know, lifetime you're in.
And also, you kind of speak about playing the course. Well, the junior match play was at the Kearney Country Club at the end of last week. Those young boys, men, I can't imagine. They qualify on Wednesday, 18, to see who gets in and then to seed you. Then they played 36 on Thursday. If they were fortunate enough to advance, 36 more on Friday. And then the final on Saturday was 36 holes, which always has a chance to be a blowout. You could win 9 and 8, or even worse when you get to 36 holes. It went to the final hole. It went to the 36th hole. Nolan Mashka on the 18th at the Kearney Country Club. Everybody knows that's the toughest green out there. Gets up and down to save par and win one up over Coy Potoff of Scott's Bluff. And as usual, you always kind of feel for the runner-up. I mean, Coy played every hole he could play and lost by one hole out there. And then, of course, we played Sunday, and they would just roll us. They would roll us.
Did you play Sunday at the Country Club?
Yeah. They had the same pins, and it's fair and all that, but I'm not good.
Can you break 90?
I'm not good.
Can you break 90?
Sometimes.
That's good.
Actually, it used to be most of the time. This year has been a struggle.
Well, see.
Struggling.
See, the par is 72, but when you're on the radio show, we get one stroke.
Okay, I broke 90 yesterday.
So you broke 90, you were under par. Yeah, you just get your 72, you get 72. So every hole's a par 5. Just all of them are par 5, that's a 90.
So I should keep that in mind?
Yeah, so I mean, anytime you're on a par 3, you got 5 strokes. You know, you have to knock it home. So if you hit one out.
If there's water in front of the par 3 but not behind it, hit it long.
Come back, get your 4, you're 1 under.
That's good stuff. That is good stuff.
That's going to be our rules for now.
I wish the burger, brats, and beer was right now because I'm ready to go eat some chow. Again, folks, don't forget, help out the Kearney Rotary, their 8th annual Burgers, Brats, and Beer Night tonight from 5 to 8 at the Knights of Columbus Hall, just south of the tracks there on Central Avenue. Or if you need to GPS it, put it in your navigation system, 1900 Central Avenue. Just $10 adults, $5 children, all you can eat. Their 8th annual Burgers, Brats, and Beer Night for the Kearney Rotary is going to help put up a huge American flag at the by the archway here in Kearney. That's their latest project, and we've got one of those in the greatest city in the state where I was raised, and so it would be really cool to see that happen here as well. So take the family, 5 to 8. Everybody loves burgers and beers and brats. It's all right there tonight. Tomorrow, a lot more on the College World Series, so we hope you'll join us then. Thanks to Gino Bucola, recapping history, joining us today of the Belmont and American Pharoah in the Triple Crown.
Doug, will you get to go to the College World Series this year?
I'm going. You're going.
Okay.
Are you going to go?
I'd like to go at least once.
And I don't have it in front of me.
No, the
runs it doesn't play down there
no,
either weekend?
So, no, what we have to do is...
Come on, Arch!
No, we have a great schedule. We went down to go. We played in Colorado yesterday. How many states you want us to play?
Usually
in?
That happened, though, right?
Yeah,
there's always like a tournament going on.
It's
at the same time.
There is one, but we play someplace else. Yeah.
But again, every game of the College World Series beginning Saturday afternoon is right here on ESPN Radio. We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.
Hey.